Time now for your letters.
Our email folder was virtually bulging today, mostly in reaction to a story about farm-raised whales that we aired yesterday.
Hundreds of acres of wide pools, as far as the eye can see, spread over the landscape. It is here that the nation's first farm-raised whales are being grown and harvested.
Well, that story upset many listeners, especially something that reporter Chadzel Cheswick-Weisberg said.
Ray Stubbs is a bearded man in his 50s. He spent a life at sea and traveled the world. He grew up here in Bellsville, but came back to lend a hand in an ambitious and controversial program.
Nothing's really wasted. I mean, you know, nothing gets to waste. I think it's great. You know, it's good eating. We get oil for heating and lighting. And the skeletons, we can use those skeletons for doing home improvements. I built a back porch using some whale bones the other day.
Listener Brian Bookman of East Lansing, Michigan, was one of many who wrote to correct Cheswick-Weisberg.
Your reporter said Bellsville, Illinois. That's a common mistake, but I expect more from NPR. It's Belleville.
And when listener Milton Schmerler heard that part of our story, he pointed out that there is waste from the farm-raised whaling process.
You were a little quick to buy into the propaganda of the farm-raised whale industry, he wrote. What about the blowholes? Aren't they being thrown out? Is NPR shameless? It's bad enough that these giant pools holding these creatures are using up so much rich bottomland, but do you have to accord them some sort of saintly status?
From Marfa, Texas, we got this message about something in the story on the harvesting process we overlooked. Sandra Lejeune had this observation.
The generators at the Belleville Whale Farm are based on technology from Scandinavia, she writes. Cetacea culture, or whale farming, is already big business in Europe. Where are this country's innovators?
Listeners also complained about a claim in that story made by conductor Reed Summers, who taught the captive whales to sing close harmony.
In achieving three-part harmony in whale song, I think we've tied nature's most wondrous sound to a great barbershop tradition.
Well, listener Maxine Scooter of Biloxi, Mississippi, takes issue with that.
Having studied music at college, I want Mr. Summers to know that what he calls three-part harmony is not. Two of the whales are plainly singing the same note. That may be clever, but it's not barbershop.
And Brian Michelle Royale of Cincinnati writes this.
My dad used to take us kids harpooning for whale back in the 1960s, before the International Whaling Commission ruined all that fun. We think your conductor, Reed Summers, doesn't deserve all the credit for getting the captive sea mammals to sing.
It wasn't that the whales couldn't sing in harmony. They were just too busy expressing their individuality. They weren't so attached to the group. NPR should be ridiculed to the point of humiliation for permitting such careless remarks on the air.
Well, if you think we're swimming out of the pod or hitting the wrong note, go to npr.org and click on Contact Us.
One final correction from yesterday's story. We credited the recordings of the whales to the Steubenville, Ohio Community College. In fact, they were provided by the Cornell Ornithology Lab.
Now to your letters and a correction.
And a timely confession. First, the correction. The EU's ambassador to the U.S., John Bruton, says he misspoke yesterday when he included Spain among the countries that could not finance a stimulus. He says Spain is doing its part.
Now to that confession. For the second straight day, the story that got the most letters by far was whale farming.
Listeners were horrified by the letters we read yesterday about people who grow pods of whales in Belleville, Illinois, and harvest them for food, oil, and in some cases, building supplies, even teaching them three-part harmony. Listeners were also outraged by our lack of outrage.
And they let our inbox have it. Shame, shame, shame. Melissa chose to read in a la-di-da voice letters about the trivia of whale songs in this context. How about the cruelty? And this letter. As I listened to the guy talking about the porch he built from whale bones, I wondered, in horror, Where am I? What sort of people actually farm these magnificent mammals? And how can you so glibly talk about the uses for their parts?
Well, if you're still upset, we are sorry, but we do have some good news. Here's the confession. There is no such thing as dry land whale farming, not in Belleville, Illinois, and not anywhere that we know of. And there was no story on whale farming on our air at all. Yesterday's letter segment was part of an April Fool's Day tradition on our program, the work of our wily producer, Art Silverman.
Some got the joke right away. Others took a little bit longer. I swallowed the bait hook, line, and sinker, Daryl Frick writes from Greensboro, North Carolina. I was so angry about this whale farm in the continental U.S. that I planned to start a one-man protest outside the gates of the facility. It was only after several failed internet searches that I realized that I had been duped.
And Kent White chimes in from Canada. Only in insular America would teaching whales to sing three-part harmony be considered an accomplishment. I spent a summer in northern Canada where the local Inuit had taught a pod of narwhals to sing the entire works of Bob Dylan, in Inuktitut, no less. They frankly had much better vocal tone than Mr. Dylan himself, to my ear. Well, if you were fooled, please don't feel bad. We snagged some high-ranking folks here at NPR who will remain nameless.
And finally, Kevin Becker of Pikesville, Maryland, thought he caught another joke in yesterday's show. He writes, "Aha! I caught the fake April Fool's story. Reconciliation between Democrats and the Republicans. Couldn't you come up with something that was a little more believable?"
Serious or not, please keep your comments coming. Go to our website, npr.org, and click on Contact Us. Don't forget to tell us where you're from and how you pronounce your name.